Yo, what's up? Shadano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Jeff Passan going to stop by in just a few moments, so stick around for that, certainly. Greg Bergman, I would imagine that you were, if I had to envision you yesterday, it is you were worried for a little bit. You were then starting to get a little more worried, and then Mookie Betts kind of got the rally going, and then things exploded, and then you kind of took a breath. If I had to guess your range and spectrum of emotions yesterday, is that a good analysis of it?
I think you think very little of me to think that I would be worried in game one against the Giants.
Yeah, no, I do think way. Very little of you. I think that's very obvious. Yeah, I think it's fairly obvious.
No, I was just enjoying watching baseball again. And look, this team, the moment that the Giants had bases loaded and nobody out and only got one run on a sac fly, I knew there was no chance they had in that game. They were done. That was it.
All right, I guess. I mean, listen, I was a little worried. I know it's only game one, but game one counts for like, three games.
Yeah, it's like it's actually like game 75 at this point.
Right.
Game 175, and then game two is like 83.
Yeah, one win, one loss counts for like three games. So it's, yeah. Like, you know, it's like 3.25 games. So it's not like it's a little thing. Like losing a game, I actually think this year, it's what I'm going to like the most about baseball this year is that there's actually a sense of urgency for a change.
Yeah, so I mean, when it comes to this Dodger team, though, I think we just have to get something out there right away, is that the whole point of the way that the Dodgers play is they're very patient at the plate because they're trying to get the starter out of the game and to get into the bullpen, which they just destroy bullpens, especially when they're going left, right
yeah.
In the lineup. So in these 60 games that we're going to watch, you're going to get to the bullpen very fast, very often, because starters aren't going to go more than 4 or 5 innings. And we saw it. Both starters didn't go more than 4 1/3 last night.
Right.
So this goes right into how the Dodgers play.
Yeah, no, I get all that. Like, you know, but I'm saying, like, one loss is going to be a lot different than one loss over 162. Like, that's undeniable.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, look at what they're dealing with here. You got the Giants, the Padres.
The Giants do look like there should be, like, the Benny Hill music playing behind them when they're trying to field. I mean, that I think it was, like, the seventh inning where they had a shift on and the shortstop, instead of going to first base, like, gave it to the second baseman to try to get Pollock at second. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that's the type of stuff you teach people in Little League.
Right, and then they also had the guy on third who ran into a basically an inning-ending double play,
yeah.
Running into a pickle because their base running was so terrible. This is what we're dealing with in the NL West. It's just not going to be that big of a deal. So, yes, those one losses mean something. Not when you're going up against this terrible NL West.
All right, fair enough. Are you worried about Kershaw, though? You should be.
I mean, I'm always a little worried about Kershaw, and the fact that it's a back problem again, and he's had so many back problems in the past, that's concerning. But did you see Dustin May last night? He didn't even know till the day before that he was going to start.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. Are you kidding? He was throwing gas the whole night.
I don't think gas has ever been his problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think his problem is control.
No, but they were dirty pitches. Like that, he was hitting the corners. He got out of that bases loaded jam with nothing more than a sac fly, like we talked about. Yeah, I really think he's going to be something special down the line.
Yeah, of course he's going to be something special down the line. But you need him to be something special now, especially if Kershaw's going to miss time. And here's the thing: I'll open it up right now. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. The reason I'm worried about Kershaw, and you know this, I think Clayton Kershaw is one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and I think that Clayton Kershaw has been amazing for the Dodgers in his career, and I think he takes too much grief for the postseason stuff because I think some of it is not necessarily his fault. I think some of it is random. I think some of it is stuff for example, relievers couldn't hold runners for him and things of that nature historically. I also think that the Astros cheated him in that game 5 in Houston. So I think he takes way too much grief. But I wasn't keen on that contract because it gave him an extra 2 years after having, I believe it was four straight seasons of injuries, including the back injury. This isn't the first time we've seen the back injury. You know, he's got a, you know, he's going to have a backiotomy or something. You know what I'm saying? And I think that I said at the time, yo, this doesn't smell like Andrew Friedman. You know what I'm saying? Like paying a guy for past performance. It smells like ownership being like, hey, we got to pay a guy for past performance because this guy is one of the greatest we've ever had. And that's fine, and you do that, but you find yourself in these situations because the biggest predictor, Greg, of future injury is past injury. And with Clayton Kershaw, now we're dealing with that. And I don't think it's going to necessarily get much better. It's not to say that he can't have great performances. It's not to say that he's not going to be good for them when he comes back. But he's certainly not the same pitcher, and the more and more injuries mount up, particularly the back, like I think that is a huge red flag. Now, granted, he's only got two more seasons, this one and another, on the books, but it's not at a small number at $30-plus million.
No, and it is very concerning. I mean, when he was in last, he was still really good last year.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and he could still be really good this year. But yes, the back problem is one of those things that is very disturbing because back problems don't just go away.
Correct.
He's showing that right now. You have a back problem right now.
I do.
It's not just going away right tomorrow.
Yeah. It has been. This is day three already.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's why he went on an IL already, which I'm just proud of myself for saying IL instead of DL like I normally do.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, like, he's a guy that he's going to be injured a lot more, and you got to be more careful with him. This 60 game season kind of plays better into him specifically because he only has to go four or five innings instead of having to push himself in those 6-7 range and possibly tweaking himself a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I think that he could have a good season, but he's not the guy we rely on anymore. The guys that you rely on now is Walker Buehler, and everything has to go on to him.
Yeah, well, you know, is he ready is the question. Like, Kirkchen didn't seem all that high on him being ready to be that guy that you can depend on. Now, granted, Kirkchen could be wrong, but yeah, look, I think the Dodgers are going to win on their depth. I don't think there's any doubt about that, right? Like, we've talked about that. We've talked about that, you know, numerous times here as we get ready for the season, and look, I just believe that you look at a guy like Kike Hernandez yesterday, right? Like, for all the talk about Betts and Bellinger, who, by the way, came up big in the moment of truth, right? But the guy who was the hero of last night was Kike Hernandez, and this is the type of stuff that you're going to see from this team because they're so deep that any given night it can be really anybody.
Oh yeah, imagine that we were sitting here talking just a couple days ago about how, oh my God, Gavin Lux is going down. They're going to go with Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor. That's great. Let's see what they can do. And then Kike Hernandez comes up and has a gigantic opening day game, basically saying Gavin Lux who for this year. It's pretty incredible how deep they are at every single position.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Like, I don't think there's any doubt about it, but it is wild. But either way, were you happy with Mookie Betts' first game?
I mean, it's his first game. He's going to be a little bit nervous. So going 1-for-5, the fact of the matter is, like, what you saw, what he did to get that game-winning run across was going on first contact and just barely getting his hand under the slide. I mean, it was, that's what we're hoping for out of him. Those are the types of things that you expect him to do. Play good defense. He actually had I think it was either the first or second inning, he had a ball that landed for a single that could have gotten a guy from first to third. And instead, he almost got him out at second because of how quick his mind was and how he went straight to second base. So it made a huge difference. What he's going to do in the outfield and what he's going to do with his speed on the base paths is going to change everything. And can you imagine what we're going to watch every game now with Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger going next to each other?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be incredible to watch. I mean, you heard Kirkchen yesterday, right? He said it's the best since Mantle and Maris, basically,
right?
You know, back to back. You have to go back 50 years or whatever it's been for something. Maybe actually longer, 60 years almost in that situation. But Jeff Passan, who's going to join us in 10 minutes, basically said it best when it came to the Dodgers lineup. Let's hear Jeff.
The argument in favor of the Dodgers is this. They have a lot of talent, and they have not just a lot of elite talent, but they are incredibly deep. Like, they are just loaded with guys. And here's the crazy part. If August rolls around and someone has gotten hurt and maybe they don't have a backup for him, they've got the prospect depth to turn around and trade someone to try and fill that potential hole. You know, we talk about how the Yankees are the Death Star. No, the Dodgers are the Death Star. The Dodgers are also a team that have not won a World Series since 1988. So they are ready. They are hungry. And this signing of Mookie Betts really dovetails with their plan.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it all up. And we'll talk to Jeff about that and some more in just a second. Real quick, though, got to tell you about our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same network as the big carriers and pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So we'll talk to Jeff more about the Dodgers in, you know, 8 minutes or so. But I do want to talk to you about the Lakers yesterday. And good God, man, even in a half, Anthony Davis specifically, like LeBron looked great. I didn't expect LeBron to look any worse. Anthony Davis, when you compare him to Porzingis, who's supposed to be kind of his peer, holy moly, it's not even close.
No, it was incredible. Anthony Davis made, I didn't even notice Porzingis on the floor.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one good play from Luka to Porzingis that was it. It was just a little dump off. And besides that, Anthony Davis dominated the entire game. It was beautiful.
Yeah. And by the way, I know everyone's all excited about Dion Waiters. Right. I'm just telling you.
Good.
I'm telling you. There are days you're going to see that and you're going to be like, man, this guy, I don't understand. Like, why, you know, maybe we can get something out of him that no one else has. Every team goes through those moments with him. And then you realize why he's been on four or five teams, you know, shortly thereafter. Just trust me. I'm telling you, I've lived through the roller coaster, okay? Just trust me, I'm telling you about Dion Waiters. Like,
I liked Waiters Island last night. I was having fun.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. I'm just telling you, like, there are going to be moments you're going to be like, this guy's incredible. And then you're going to be moments like, I can't, this guy. I get it. I get it why he's been on four or five teams. You're going to go through those range of emotions. I'm telling you.
Is he like a rich man's Kyle Kuzma?
No.
Or just
Kyle Kuzma's way better than Dion Waiters. And I think Kyle Kuzma is like, you know, he's good, but he's not like anything out of this world. But I think Kyle Kuzma is better than Dion Waiters.
I mean, that's a tough one.
What?
Because I don't, it's tough for me.
No. Listen, I think that, look, I don't think Kuzma is as good as Brandon Ingram or Lonzo as a prospect. But I think that Kuzma at least can be a consistent scorer given the ball enough. I just think Dion is the most is so inconsistent in general. Yes, his skill set in theory should be better than Kyle Kuzma, but his production is rarely better than Kyle Kuzma.
Okay, I mean, you can argue with the production, but I've never been a Kyle Kuzma guy. That's just how I've been.
But the
fact is, he's every time he has the ball and he's like, it's on a, whether it's a fast break or he's bringing it up, he's not a threat going to the basket. It's just, he has no plan for what he's going to do. He just kind of dribbles in and then dribbles out and passes off because he doesn't know where he wants to go.
Yeah, I get it. Look, he's fine. Like, he's not, I don't think he's a star. Like, I'm with you on that. And I think that, you know, if you think that they're going to get Bradley Beal in a trade or something with Kyle Kuzma as the centerpiece, you're out of your mind. Like, that's not happening. So I'm with you on that. He's fine. I think you could do worse as your third option when your first two are two top five players in LeBron and Anthony Davis. But I mean, just is what it is. So real quick, though, before we get to the calls and before we get to Jeff Passan, who's going to join us here in a second. We got to talk about Laura here for a second. Laura, so you were texting Greg and I yesterday that you were watching the Dodgers game, and it seemed like you were at a restaurant. Is that fair?
Yes, it was a restaurant.
You were at an outdoor restaurant yesterday.
Correct.
And, I mean, listen, you're braver than I am. I don't think there's any question about that. However, what happened to you at the restaurant? Like, the restaurant had a line. You had a table. I would imagine it was a large table.
Yes. So we had, we they had told us a wait time. We're like, okay, it's not too bad. And then it ended up being a really, really long wait time. It was like over an hour, and we were watching the game standing up. We ended up meeting these two guys that were just happened to be waiting for a table as well. So our table was large enough to fit both of our parties. So we're like, oh, you know what? You guys want to share a table? They were rooting for the Dodgers. The other guy had an LAFC shirt.
Right.
The LAFC game was going on yeah. the other TV.
You were like, all right.
Let's do it.
We can hang out with these guys. Yeah.
They're cool.
Yeah.
Then we get to our table, we order drinks, and the guy starts talking ish about the Dodgers. And I'm like, wait a minute, you were just rooting for the Dodgers. Like, oh, I'm a Braves fan. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I said something about the Lakers because they lost. So he goes, oh, good. I'm a Spurs fan.
Oh.
And then the other one goes, oh, I'm a Clipper fan.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, you guys got to move. I was like, we can't share tables anymore. They're like, what? And he goes, you really like sports. He's like, you should work for a sports station. So I thought it was funny. I didn't say where I worked.
Right.
Then he tells me what station he listens to.
And it wasn't us.
It wasn't our station.
It was the other guys.
Yep.
Yeah, and you should have. This is what you get, number one.
For being nice.
For going out to a restaurant during a pandemic. And B, also being nice to strangers during a pandemic. Okay?
I learned my lesson.
Yes. That's what you did. You got what you deserved. Bergman, is that a fair way to assess this situation?
Yeah, you got what you deserved. That was ridiculous. Yes. When you're trying to bring some random people that you don't know to a table at a bar or yeah. a restaurant.
It wasn't a bar, Greg.
Doesn't matter. Restaurant, same thing.
It's yeah. not
doesn't
a bar.
Matter.
Yeah. I can't see the screen. Who do we have on hold here?
Harold.
Harold?
Yes.
All right, let me grab him real quick. Harold, what do you got real quick? I got 30 seconds.
Great show. You know what? The Giants are terrible. That game last night was like watching paint dry. It was horrible. I had to turn it off. And another thing that bothers me, George, the general public, it's hard for them to get these tests. And these ball players are getting tested almost every day. I think we should shut it down, let everybody get an 11 player. You want the fans back, test them and know who's got the virus and doesn't have the virus. You guys just overlook everything. Everything's sugar-coated, and it makes me mad.
Well, let me say, all right, Harold, if you're going to accuse me, if you're going to accuse me of stuff, I've already...
No, I'm not accusing you.
No, I know, but you say you guys are sugar-coating stuff. Number one, I've always, from day one, said that this is a morality versus economy issue, right? Like, there's no question about that. However, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but these leagues, whether it's the NBA or Major League Baseball, or I would imagine the NFL when they start training camps, they are going to private labs and purchasing these tests. You, in the general public, could do the same. If you want to go purchase a test, you can pay for a test. There's no question. But hold on. Harold, hold on. Hold on. Okay. You can go purchase one. However, if you want to go and get the government issued tests that are free, then you would have to go and find one of those requisite spots that does that. So I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you that those are the facts.
How long does it take to get the results of a test for the general public?
Laura got hers in one day, you said, Laura?
Yep. It took me 10 minutes to go and get it tested, and they emailed me my results in one day.
Yeah. So, yeah. And these guys, because the lab techs, at least in the NBA, are actually in Orlando, they get it within a few minutes. They have the rapid testing, which they can get in 15 minutes. I don't know what Major League Baseball structure is, Harold, so I really can't attest to that. But yeah, no one's denying that it's not a morality versus economy issue, but they are purchasing these tests. Not like they're taking them away from the general public. The general public can also go out and buy their tests too, if they'd like to. Or you would go to a city or government mandated spot or, you know, whatever and do that. If I want to go get an antibody test, I can go to my doctor and pay for it. You know, and it's like $50. So that's what's happening with these leagues. All right, Jeff Pass is going to join us in, what, 2 or 3 minutes or so? Yeah, 2 or 3 minutes. We'll talk to him about a number of different things, including the season and the testing. We'll ask him for you, Harold. We'll ask him about testing, too. Jeff Passan in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, will be joining us in just a second, giving us that Straight Talk by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Happy birthday to Kyle Kuzma. I mean, no happy birthday because really Greg was just trashing him earlier today. Happy birthday. That was your gift to Kyle Kuzma?
I mean, happy birthday, buddy.
I mean, for the love of God. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're sitting there slamming the guy on his 25th birthday.
All I said was that I like Dion Waiters better.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, come on. If I'm a Laker fan listening to that, I have immediately revoked your Laker card, I feel like.
No, oh, no, no, no. God, look, Kyle Kuzma is a fine player, and he'll be a good player on a bad team somewhere else.
I don't disagree with the latter part of it, but I mean, to sit here and say Dion Waiters is better seems just insane to me.
I think for this team, what we need is not what Kyle Kuzma can do.
All right. I agree with that. I agree. That could be the case. Hey, today's National Drive-Thru Day. What's your favorite drive-thru spot?
Del Taco.
Yeah?
Not In-N-Out. In-N-Out or Del Taco, yeah.
I mean, you went Del Taco first. Did you blaspheme there? Or did you catch yourself? What happened there?
Well, I mean, I love In-N-Out, but I just don't go. The line is so long that I usually just end up at Del Taco, so because it's just so good. Have you ever had a bacon double del, by the way, from Del Taco?
Have I had a bacon what?
A bacon double del. It's a hamburger from Del Taco.
No, I have not. Pass is not answering, by the way, if you want to text him, Greg.
Oh, boy. I'll text him.
Yeah. I have not, though. At Del Taco, usually my move is I like going for the plant-based tacos.
I've never had one.
Yeah. They're actually pretty good, I think.
Oh, I mean, they sound like they're supposed to be good. People really like them. I just haven't gone that route yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jeff is there, so don't worry about it. My go-to, I mean, it's still got to be like McDonald's, right? For like fries, if I just want like some fries or something, like I think that's kind of the move here. So, you know, right, I get it. That's right. You don't love McDonald's fries. You feel like they're overrated. I understand. Jeez. I mean, Bergman. I mean, I feel like Passan is going to have a lot of opinions on this stuff. So when Passan comes on here in a second, I'm going to ask him about all these things. Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, friend of the program, the best in the business at covering Major League Baseball. I've got questions. I hope you have answers, Passan.
I always have answers. Come on, man.
Okay. Let's start here with my producer, Laura, who you just spoke to, and then we'll get to Bergman in a second. So Laura decided to go out yesterday to a outdoor restaurant, which is okay here in California. We can do that. And she went. She waited in this long line to sit at this restaurant outdoors. And there were these two guys, right? You know, she was with one of her girlfriends. And there were these two guys there. And they were waiting in line. So she said, hey, look, we got a big table. We could socially distance. Do you guys want to sit there? And we can talk, because they were watching the Dodger game on the screen as they were in line, and they were rooting for the Dodgers. Everybody was all excited. And so they start sitting there, and then she finds out that the guys, one guy's a Braves fan, the other guy is a, what was the other fan? What was the other guy?
Clipper fan.
He was a Clipper fan. She is a diehard Laker and Dodger fan, and my response to her was very simple. This is what you get for A, going out during a pandemic, B, then inviting strangers to sit at your table in a pandemic. You deserve those guys yammering about the teams that you hate the most.
How old are you, Laura?
I am 32.
Sedano, you are honestly ridiculous.
Thank you. Like,
I'm being serious here. If we're looking at the math, if we're looking at the numbers, if we're looking at hospitalizations and death, like, the chances of her getting really, really sick from this are not particularly high. Those are like, that's just a, you know, if there might be some pre-existing condition there that I don't know about. I don't want to completely outpour Laura's medical file on air.
Right, the HIPAA laws. HIPAA laws, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, but listen, George, if you would like to spend the rest of your pandemic life sitting in a corner afraid that you're going to catch the cooties, then be my guest.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with sitting in the corner in my house, you know, and not catching the cooties. I'm okay. But my whole thing is she was complaining about these dudes talking about the team she hates. And I said, well, that's on you. You invited a bunch of strangers to sit at your table.
I think that we're honestly like, I hope we don't lose that. I hope we don't lose this idea that being near people we don't know is something that's acceptable, right? Like, isn't like, don't you think that the
No. Pass it. I just, no. Not really. Yeah, I'm good with the people I know. I'm like, Robert De Niro in Meet the Parents. I got the circle of trust, Passon. And, you know, I thought you were in the circle of trust here, but it sounds like you're not in the circle of trust all of a sudden because you're disagreeing. Yeah, you're in Laura's circle of trust.
I honestly would not want to be in your circle of trust. It sounds like your circle of trust just is a pretty terrible place.
Okay, fair enough. Greg Bergman hates McDonald's fries. What do you make of that?
Compared to what?
Compared to other fast food fries. He says they're overrated.
Yeah, it's a bad take. McDonald's fries are pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, what else do you want for $1.89 or whatever the hell you could get? You know?
I'm trying to think. What's his favorite fast food fry?
Go ahead, tell him, Greg.
I didn't say it was my favorite fast food fry. I just said I like In-N-Out fries. I like In-N-Out.
Tastes
fries.
Like cardboard. Okay.
I would prefer
Whoa, 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 whoa,
fries
whoa, whoa, whoa,
or
whoa, 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 whoa. You don't like McDonald's fries,
correct?
But you do like In-N-Out's like undercooked Sog Bomb.
Yeah.
Sog Bomb? Yeah. There's no soggy.
They taste like cardboard at best.
No, they're delicious.
That might be as bad actually as George's take on.
Well, then I feel better now. Maybe you're in the outer circle of trust now, Passon.
No, I don't want to be anywhere near any circles of trust in this situation. I don't want my delicacy to be soggy In-N-Out fries, and I definitely do not need, like, yeah, no. I'm staying away from this whole thing. These bubbles are terrible places. Oof.
Passon can hang out with Laura. Yeah, clearly. Yeah, you can be in Laura's circle of trust.
That's cool. I mean, if Laura will get McDonald's fries without complaining and she'll talk with people, I'm okay with that.
Okay, fair enough. Even if, and well, look, the great thing about Passon is you can ask him all the Dodgers questions in the world, like we're about to do anyway right now. So there you go. Jeff Passon, ESPN MLB Insider, with us here. So the Betts deal. Let me ask you this. Were you surprised by the timing of it at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was pretty surprised by the whole thing. You know, a lot of times in these sorts of situations, it'll leak out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a deal of this magnitude. This one stayed quiet for a really long time. So I don't think anybody around the sport really expected there to be an extension, let alone a Mookie Betts extension before the season began.
Yeah, it kind of caught everyone, I felt like, off guard, but good things, obviously, for the Dodgers. The other thing is interesting to me is, you know, it's very unlike Andrew Friedman, right? Like, you would know way better than I would. He's not the guy that anyone would envision giving the 10-plus-year type deal. Why this guy and not maybe some of the other guys that he's had a chance to give those deals to, like Manny Machado, even as recently as a year or so ago?
I think that there are particular types of guys who he enjoys going after. And Gerrit Cole clearly was one of those. And if you look at Gerrit Cole, he's somebody whose main characteristic, when it really boils down to it, Gerrit Cole's main characteristic is that, he has stayed healthy his whole career. Like, he just has managed to. And I think with Mookie Betts, there's a similar element where his skill set, the ability to take a walk, the ability to steal bases, the ability to catch the ball extraordinarily well. This skill set translates very well into older age. And so that's where I think this goes. It's not that there's a particular type necessarily. I think that type is who is not going to age poorly and make this thing look like a disaster after 5 years?
Well, and that was going to be my next question. Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, best in the business, joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Jeff appear via the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. How many years do you have to get out of this deal at him playing near the top of his game for it to be a success?
I think if they get two World Series, then you can say that it was worth every single penny that they spent on it.
Okay. What about one? What if you just get one?
That's a tough one right there. Like $392 million is an awful lot of money to be spending for one championship, but it's still one, you know? I mean, I grew up in Cleveland where the Indians were like almost the closest thing I can remember back in the mid-90s to what the Dodgers are right now. They just had this incredible homegrown talent and some veterans, and they didn't win any championships.
Oh, I remember the 97 World Series. Tony Fernandez.
Yeah. I mean, I have long thought all they need was one. Like, I would have been okay with one. That would have been cool, and I never got one. And so maybe one is enough. Two definitely is enough.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. How worried should people be about Kershaw? I'm a big believer in that, past injury is the best indicator of future injury, but how worried should we be?
This is, I believe, Clayton Kershaw's fifth time on the injured list for his back in the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was on in 14, 16, 17, and 18. That is, man, it's a lot of injuries to the same area. And the fact that it was going on while he was lifting weights, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is clearly a thing.
Yeah, I am a little worried about it. But I did see you on, I don't know if it was Get Up or SportsCenter. It all just goes. It melds because I feel like you're on TV all the time. And, that's a good thing. Although I would imagine you're kind of tired after a while.
Do I sound it right now?
No, you sound a little. You don't have your normal pep in your step type of energy that you normally bring to the table. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'll tell you why. Because I was up all night writing the column that ended up running today from opening day last.
Yeah, week. I did receive that from the great Chuck Salaturo, who always sends the emails out for content.
So was up all night writing that.
Yeah.
And then transitioned over to writing some other stuff for opening day.
Yeah.
And then got a copy of a very long feature on a particular player I can't reveal quite yet.
Yeah.
It's a very good story that I'm going to be working on. And by the time like 12:30 rolled around, I still had not slept.
Oh.
And so I laid down for a little bit and then got woken up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that I'm appreciative of you coming on. I'm just letting you know. You know, you and I have this honesty thing going on. You tell me, I tell you.
Oh yeah.
You know. So I'm giving it to you. I will say this: they are ESPNing you. I'll tell you that you are everywhere, and you know, every once in a while, the thing you have to learn at this place, occasionally, you got to say no. Just letting you know. Not to me, but to the rest of them.
I was just going to say, this is the one I should have said no to.
Right.
I should have said no so I could get some sleep.
Right, but not to me, because I'm the one that's going to actually ask you questions that are fun and interesting, not just the, hey, so what do you think of the White Sox chances this year? You know?
That is a totally true point, and yet I'm worried that one of the questions you're going to ask me is, Jeff, why are you walking outside? You're going to catch coronavirus.
Oh, will you stop? Will you stop? Are you wearing your mask at least?
I do. I wear a mask.
Okay, then that's it. That's all. I'm just worried about you, okay? God forbid.
Are you worried about Laura?
I am very worried about Laura.
I'd be more, you know what I'd be more worried about with Laura?
What?
That, Laura, do you have bad tasting guys, or do you have
good tasting guys? I mean, Laura, we have had these conversations too.
I'm known to make a few mistakes with men.
That's okay.
Yeah,
but a few.
It's never like we all make some mistakes. I just want to make sure if there's going to be some inviting to the tabling going on, like the picker better be working well.
Oh,
because it is a reasonable point that he makes right now. If there is an increased percentage of chances of anything negative, you want to make sure you're making the best and most practical decisions. And guys are terrible. Like guys are just all terrible, pretty much.
Yes.
So we got to look out for you.
Yes.
I wasn't trying to score, if you guys know what I mean. So, I mean, it was just, you know.
The runners weren't in scoring position. She was just, you know, just being kind is basically exactly what she was saying. So, you know, but, you know, what I would say, the way I would attribute it to Laura and the conversations we've had on the air and off the air with her that she allows us to reveal is that, you know, passing, when you make an omelet, you got to break some eggs, you know, occasionally. And that's the way I would describe her dating life occasionally.
All right, that's fair.
All right.
I mean, you know, broken eggs are messy.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, I got one more baseball question and then one more fun question for you. The expanded playoffs, how do the players feel about this? And is this something that you think we'll see more of beyond this season?
Well, it's almost like Pandora's box, man. Once you open this up, it's tough to put it back in. And so I do anticipate that it's going to be 16 teams in the playoffs for good every year. And it'll be interesting to see what happens if, say, you know, the number one seed that was 40-20 this year loses a 3-game series to a team that was 25-35. Is that a good thing? Is that not quite as good a thing? How does that play?
Right.
Those are all things that we're going to be asking and paying attention to and really focusing on, because that's where the decision's going to come out of.
All right, last one for you. Yesterday we had this discussion. We're going to have our buddy Ben Lyons on. I don't know if you're familiar with Ben. He was once on the most famous movie review show. So he joins us every week to do movie reviews and have movie talk. And this week we're going to ask him about the most unique and interesting pairings, like the best male-female actor pairings you've seen in a movie. And the reason that comes up is Denzel Washington and Julia Roberts are reuniting, Passon. First time since Pelican Brief. They're doing a movie together. If you had to pick, and they don't have to have necessarily worked together, but if you had to pick Passon's best A-listers that you would like to see in a movie project together, male and female, who would they be?
Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper were very good together in Silver Linings Playbook.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. So is that your pick? You'd like to see more of them?
You know, top of my head, like, that's where I'll go. But, see, I was editing the longer story that you're going to read early next week, I was saying to the editor that my brain is functioning at about 30% capacity right now. So I feel like there is definitely a better answer.
And that's a good one. It's a good one. I think.
I just honestly don't. I'm nowhere close to it right now.
Listen, I think that you gave us a solid B+ performance today. Okay.
Okay. All right.
And you should take that on 30% brain capacity.
Oh, I will listen, fake it till you make it, baby. I will totally take it. As long as I did not libel anyone, curse, or say something that's going to get me fired, I feel like I did great.
You never should get fired on a Friday. It really should never be done that way, to be honest with you.
Laura, how'd I do?
Laura?
You passed, man.
There you go.
And you had my back, okay. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, there you go.
I had your back and you just gave me a pass. Is this like a binary?
It's pass-fail. Yeah.
Or are you saying I got like a D-?
Yeah, pass-fail. Yeah.
Yeah, all your right. energy's a little
I'll
low.
Take the pass.
Yeah, yeah.
My energy is definitely low. I'm totally with you. You know why my energy's low? Because you woke me up.
Yeah. All right, and that's fine. And we'll let you go back to sleep, all right? We love you.
I'm going to.
All right. Thank you for waking up for us. Stay healthy, stay safe, and don't throw a baseball like Dr. Fauci, okay?
I would never. Like, honestly, Dr. Fauci could save America, like, truly could. And if I were his father, I'd be questioning myself after watching that.
Yeah, we will discuss your athletic exploits next time, because I did see that video of you throwing a football across your street into a basketball hoop. We will discuss that at another time.
All right, I'll take it.
All right, man, stay safe.
I'll bring the energy next time. How's that sound?
All right, brother, be good. Take care.
See you guys.
See ya. There he is, Jeff Passan with us here. The great Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider. All right, coming up next, AD. Holy moly, should you be excited about that dude. Back in a couple of minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And, of course, Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. Whether you're taking the trails or the terrace, your deck or your dock, Nature Valley Granola Bars help you make the most of your outdoor time, because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. Don't forget, it is Friday, which means we're celebrating Laker Fans Friday. You can win a Laker prize pack, which includes a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars, exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30th, and a $75 Pizza Hut voucher. Thank you to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-thru oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com. So we're going to play a game, right, Greg? That's how we're going to give away this jersey and this prize pack with the Pizza Hut voucher and all that?
Yep. It's a game, and we'll do it at, what do you want time you want to do it at? 11:15?
So we'll do it like 11:15. Like 11:15, like, you know, less than 30 minutes, we'll play the game, and we'll give people a chance. And, you know, what kind of game do you want to play?
It's going to be a real easy game. It's just Lakers trivia. It's going to have you've got to get five questions right. We'll fill up the phone lines, and if the first caller gets all five right, they win.
Okay. If you miss one, we go to the next guy, or person, right, or girl, or lady, or, yeah. Person, yes.
Yes. Yes, person. Yes. Yeah, and then that's fine. And if they get the first one right, then the second person will get the first one right off the bat.
Okay.
It's pretty easy, though. It's not very hard.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks to Jeff Passan for joining us there, as tired as he was. You know he's tired because I texted him. He didn't even respond.
Yeah, no, I texted him, too. I didn't get a response, but he did come on the phone, so that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why he didn't grab the phone, because he was asleep. We literally woke him up. That's a good guy.
That is a good guy to come on for you while he was sleeping after being up all night.
Yeah, well, that's why I said to him, you know, you got to learn to say no at ESPN, except for us. Like, you always got to say yes to us.
Yes, always to us. As long as you come on with us, that's all that matters.
Yeah, for sure. I want to get into AD here. So I mentioned it earlier against Porzingis. Like, Anthony Davis, I've said this before, right? He's an extraterrestrial, Greg, in ways that it's just like, it's almost impossible to sit here and argue against him being the most dynamic big man that we have in the game today. And I would venture to say, from a skill set perspective, he's as unique a player. Now, granted, clearly not the same style, right? Or same skill set as this player. But as far as like uniqueness is concerned, I mean, Shaq was, at the time, as unique a player as we'd ever seen, right? Because we'd never seen a player that big with that kind of athleticism, particularly like Orlando and early Lakers Shaq, you know what I mean? But like Anthony Davis, also unique on a number of different fronts because, you know, his outside game is coming along. He's actually, it's funny, if you look at his three-point numbers, Greg, they're way worse if he takes like a step back beyond the three-point line. But if he's literally got his toes on the line, like, or right behind the line, he's pretty money from there. He's like close to 40%. It's the further he gets back that he becomes way worse at that particular point. But that, his ability to anchor the defense the way he does and change shots, and just his athleticism is just off the freaking charts, man. It's really as unique a player as I've seen since Shaq. And again, not comparing them as athletes or even players, but just the uniqueness, the stuff that we just have never seen before.
Yeah, there's nobody ever going to be like Shaq that's that dominant inside with that quick footwork like he had. It was just, it was amazing to watch. But Anthony Davis is absolutely incredible. If you're, if everybody likes to call Kristaps Porzingis the unicorn, then like, what do you call Anthony Davis?
Oh my God. Yeah. I have no idea what the hell you call Anthony Davis at that point.
Right. Because he does everything and he does more than Kristaps does. So the fact is, like, yes, I mean, he had multiple steals inside when he was guarding Porzingis in this game yesterday, just because he has such quick hands to get around. I mean, he does. This is why when we were discussing about, you know, Giannis versus Anthony Davis for Defensive Player of the Year, I just happen to watch way more Anthony Davis, obviously, because I'm a Laker fan. But what the things that he does on the defensive end gets overlooked a lot. He is fantastic defensively.
He is incredible defensively. I think that, you know, you can make the case he's the Defensive Player of the Year. I would not pick him as my Defensive Player of the Year. I've already said I would pick Giannis in that situation. But I don't think it's like a tremendous disparity. I think it's, you know, you just basically pick your poison there. You know what I mean? Like, it's, right. it's not like a huge gap between those two particular guys. But let me ask you this. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, right? Pat Bev and Montrezl Harrell not being available for the Clippers. And now Lou Williams is also leaving the Orlando bubble, does plan to return. And what is your level of concern now? Because mine now, like before, I was like, eh, you know, it's like if it was a 1 to 10, 10 being most concerned, 1 being least concerned, I was like at a 5 because I felt like they're coming back. And look, Lou says he's coming back. But again, it's these guys were talking about lack of chemistry issues before, and now you're not going to get that time which we thought they were going to get and have an advantage to be able to kind of work on some of the issues that they had from a chemistry standpoint. Now they're not going to have that luxury. So I'm starting to get a little worried about this team with all the guys that are missing, you know? But also, you know, while I think about it, right, if they're all saying they're coming back, better now than later, right? Because their chances, and their chances of moving up and down in the standings are pretty minimal. They only have to win a couple of games here. But I am starting to get a little worried about the Clippers here.
Right. Well, I mean, there should be some worry going if you're a Clipper fan.
I'm like at a 6 as opposed to a 5.
Sure. Yeah. You're not thinking like, oh, the season's over because none of these guys are here. But you are starting to think like, okay, all these guys are leaving the bubble. And we've talked ad nauseum how often, how well that the NBA is doing this because everybody is in the bubble and they got there early and they're doing their testing and they can, how everything that they did was right. So for these guys to then leave, have to get tested every day, and then they're not practicing with the team. And these are big-time players. Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell make that second team move.
Right, and Pat Bev is their second-best defender, arguably, or third-best defender, but arguably an elite, no question, an elite defender.
Right, absolutely. And then there's Landry Shamet, too, who is, if there's no Lou Williams, then Landry Shamet is the guy that's got to release.
Right, and he's he had the virus, right? Or right. I don't want to assign someone the virus that didn't have it, but I'm just,
I'm 95% sure you're right on
right.
that.
Right, okay.
But either way, I mean, leaving the bubble and then having to come back in and having to do the whole quarantine of, I think it's 4 days when you start, when you leave and come back in. So you're just running out of time here to really get some good chemistry going with, amongst each other. And look, the season starts next week.
Yeah.
For real.
Right.
So, right. I mean, I just can't imagine that they're going to be clicking on all cylinders when they haven't had any real time. You didn't practice at all during the pandemic. And then now that you finally have some time, you're not practicing still.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a worry. Like, I'm not, like, overly worried, but I'm like, dude, yeah. Like, you were worried. Like, people were talking about lack of chemistry at times. Like, this was supposed to be the time to work on that, including something that Doc had said, right? So, yeah, it does worry me a little bit. All right, before we get to what you need to know, we have Wes here who wants to defend you, Greg, for some reason. I don't know what you're defending him about here, Wes, but what do you got, Wes?
First of all, I just got to call in and say, thank you, Greg Bergman. Always taking shots at Greg Bergman. Want to let him know that out in the streets, Greg Bergman is loved.
Yeah.
And also, since you are corporate, Greg, why don't you just go ahead and slide into those 2 hours yourself?
Oh, that's a good idea. It would never pass.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it would be good.
I can always bring something up.
You know what I'm saying? And also, I thought that story with Laura was going to end with someone getting cut.
Someone getting cut? Why that? Yeah. Why did you think there would be violence?
Oh, because when they said Spurs, I was for sure that story was ending with someone getting cut.
Oh. Okay. And let me ask you a question. Yeah. What streets are people loving Greg on? Because I am genuinely curious what these streets are.
all out here in the valley, all up and down Van Nuys Boulevard, Sherman Oaks. We love.
Oh, okay, okay, Sherman Oaks.
But let me tell you, they take swipes at you, Greg, but that's because they love you.
I mean, you know, are people talking about Greg at the Galleria there in Sherman Oaks? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, when we sit around, we have Slurpees, we talk about Greg Bergman and the program, and it's great.
Okay, like are people having drinks at public school right there across from the Galleria and just having drinks and talking about Greg Bergman all of a sudden?
Having had arugula hamburger, talking about Greg.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Thanks, cousin Wes. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Are you related to Greg in some way? I'm just curious. Also, you know,
hey, he might be a brother from another mother.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, Wes. Well, you stay healthy, stay safe. Okay, and enjoy. You know, keep the streets in Sherman Oaks talking about Greg.
Hell yeah, I'll keep it live. I'll let you know, Greg. I'll let you know.
All right, man. Be good.
Appreciate you.
All right, Laura. It is time for What You Need to Know. All right. What You Need to Know is presented by Progressive Insurance and all our guests up here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's what you need to know, Greg Bergman. Mookie Betts had his debut yesterday and the Dodgers won. What was your favorite part of the Dodgers opening day win? I believe their 11th opening day win since 2008.
Yes, which is, I think, an MLB record, which only one team has a chance to tie today, I believe, but I forget which team it is. Either way, my favorite thing, I was Kike Hernandez stepping up, playing second base and going 4-for-5 with a home run and just carrying this Dodger team, showing that there's somebody new every single night. It doesn't have to be Bellinger or Betts every night.
It is pretty amazing how deep they are, right? Like, I don't think there's any question about their depth is great. The fact that they have this depth, and by the way, they have this depth and are still going to get the universal DH to their advantage, much to Greg Bergman's chagrin. I don't know if the people in Sherman Oaks are necessarily in. I should have asked Wes if the people in Sherman Oaks are in on the universal DH, since they're talking about you so much in Sherman Oaks, Greg. But the universal DH, even you, someone who hates the universal DH, someone who was texting me and Laura yesterday while Laura was arguing with a Clipper and Spurs fan that she invited to sit at her table, even you were still making arguments against the universal DH, but even you would have to admit that it helps the Dodgers.
It absolutely helps the Dodgers because of how deep they are. But here's the thing about the way that they're using the universal DH, which makes it more okay.
Oh, for the love. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. You love this, don't you? But either way, these guys still play the field. AJ Pollock was the DH last night. Today, he could be playing the field. Jock Peterson was playing left field yesterday. He could be DH today. You can still play the field. You can still do the offensive and defensive portion of the game. Where in the AL, it's guys that are getting paid to sit on their bum for the entire game and stand up 3 or 4 times in a game, and that's it. If they go 0-for-4, they literally stand up 3 times and sit down, or 0-for-4 times.
I get it, Greg, but here's the other thing. Here's the other thing you have. You have the ability to have a guy who's a professional hitter. Like, for example, Chipper Jones was on the Marty Smith America podcast here at ESPN. And Chipper said, dude, I played till I was 40, and I had to play third base, okay? And Chipper Jones still is hitting .287 at 40 years old, okay? Like, that guy, arguably one of the greatest hitters we've ever seen, right? Arguably one of the greatest switch hitters we've ever seen, right? Outside of Mickey Mantle, you know? And he said he could have played another 2 or 3 years had there been a universal DH, because he would have just been locked into hitting. You could have, and then a younger guy could have also been in that lineup playing third base and getting his opportunity while he played DH. Like, you could have it both ways.
I mean, you can, but if you're not gonna play third base, Chipper Jones, then you're done.
Oh, for love.
Then like
you are such an ageist. Wait till you get old, okay?
No, if he's hitting .287 and still playing third base, then that means he could have played longer if he really wanted to and still play third base.
What was that, Laura?
He is old. Remember, he's complaining about his back. He can't work out. I don't know what's going on with
that. At least my back injury is because I work out too much. You know what I'm saying?
No, my back injury is because I'm fat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're sitting out there eating pints of Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, I haven't in a while, but that was so good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, was it good to have the gain, you know, all the weight you gained? No, probably not.
In your stomach, remember, he had a stomach issue because of the...
Oh, yeah, that's right, you had the poops.
No, I did. I did have
the... You had the runs.
But I'm okay now. Hey, I'm down like 10 pounds. So you know what? I'm doing better for myself. Oh, the back's getting better. I'm going on walks. It's all getting better.
All right, fine. So the Dodgers win in Mookie's debut. Very excited about the Dodgers, obviously. The Lakers do not win, but Anthony Davis and LeBron looked incredible. Like, LeBron had the boosties yesterday, man. He went at J.J. Barea. Like, and here's the thing. LeBron and J.J. Barea have history, okay? He yammed it on J.J. Barea. We all remember the 2011 finals when he couldn't post up J.J. Barea, who's my freaking height, okay? You know, so it's one of these deals where I look at it and I say to myself, good God, you know what I mean? Like, he was just incredible yesterday. So what did you make of those two guys?
I mean, it was, those two guys were incredible. And all I know is that they basically dominated in the first half. They had 10 plus point lead for most of the game. And this just shows me that when the games actually start, they're going to be clicking on all cylinders. So, I mean, whatever happened to these games is whatever, but the fact is that these two are going to carry the Lakers, and it's going to be great to watch.
All right. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it was just fun. Wasn't it also just fun, as much as we've talked about it, was fun to watch baseball? It was fun, even though the games don't count, to watch basketball.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting on my floor watching TV from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 10 o'clock at night with basically not moving.
Right.
It was great.
Oh, I didn't move. Well, I haven't moved much anyway because of my back thing, but right. I certainly wasn't moving yesterday very much. You're listening to KSBN Los Angeles. Next, we move on to college football real quick. So, Greg, you've heard that there's talk about moving college football to the spring, right?
Right.
Urban Meyer, who I'm not a huge fan of. I have said that pretty much anytime his name comes up. Said this about spring football, that he doesn't believe it's fair to the kids who may end up playing in the NFL, because the draft is normally in, you know, April or May or whatever it is. And here's what I would say to that. Outside of like 20 kids who feel like they're locks for the first round, there's a lot of kids who are fighting in season for their rankings and moving up and down guys, people's draft boards. So, yes, I would agree with him for those 20 kids that are locks to be in the first round. But outside of that, I mean, how many kids are on Division I rosters? There's like 120 schools, right? There's, you know, almost 100 kids on each team. So there's like 11,000 kids that are on these rosters. And out of that, probably like 30% of those are eligible for the draft, so like 3,000. So, yeah, I mean, look, we talk about 20 kids when 3,000 are potentially eligible. And let's face it, we're really talking about 200 or 300 kids that'll get drafted. So maybe out to 500 when you count the undrafted kids. 20 out of even 500 isn't a big enough number for me to worry.
No, not at all. And how often do we watch guys in season? They're like, oh, wow, who's this guy?
Right.
He's great. This is what we're doing. And then it even goes even further. And then you're watching them in the senior game, the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's when you're like, oh, that guy's got a great arm. Look what he's doing with guys from other teams. Okay, maybe he has the skills that can work in the NFL. It's not because of what you know right now in the fall. It's about what you have to actually see them on the field in games. So if it happens to be in spring, fine. They shouldn't be playing right now anyway if the kids aren't in class.
To your point, Greg, the Senior Bowl and stuff, excuse me, and stuff like that. Victor Cruz, who works for us here at ESPN, you know, played for the Giants forever, you know, Mr. Salsa dance when he scored the
right
touchdown. I had no idea who he was until I saw him in the Senior Bowl, and then I saw him play in preseason. I was like, whoa, this guy's really bleeping good. Like, who the hell is that guy? You know what I'm saying? So to your point, you're right. So I don't think that 20 kids should matter. If you think you could play it safely in the spring, then that's what you do. That's just my opinion on it. And lastly, Tiger Woods to skip next week's WGC FedEx St. Jude's Invitational. I feel like, look, we got our Tiger's Masters moment, and, you know, if we can get one more of those before his career's over, that's great. But I just think we're kind of done with Tiger, Greg.
Yeah, I'm not like stopping myself to go watch Tiger anymore. It'd be a great story if he wins another one.
Yeah,
but he did just win one, so I mean, I'm good.
Right. All right. That's what you need to know. Brought to you by My Computer Career. Look, you need a job. A lot of people do right now. Stop, man. Hit the reset. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home. Even if you have zero computer experience, go to mycomputercareer.edu to take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. And an emergency relief grant for up to $3,500 is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. All right. Coming up next, we're going to get back into a couple of things, including the Dodgers and how great the Lakers looked. And LeBron has a message that everyone should hear. We'll have that coming up in 2.5 minutes.